Chapter 36, The Impending Conflict. From the very beginning of the great controversy in heaven, it has been Satan's purpose to overthrow the law of God. Whether this be accomplished by casting aside the law altogether, or by rejecting one of its precepts, the result will be the same. He that offends in one point manifests contempt for the whole law, his influence and example are on the side of transgression, he becomes guilty of all. Satan has perverted the doctrines of the Bible, and errors have thus become incorporated into the faith of thousands. The last great conflict between truth and error is concerning the law of God, between the Bible and the religion of fable and tradition. The Bible is within the reach of all, but few accept it as the guide of life. In the church, many deny the pillars of the Christian faith: creation, the fall of man, the atonement, and the law of God are rejected either wholly or in part. Thousands regard it as an evidence of weakness to place implicit confidence in the Bible. It is as easy to make an idol of false theories as to fashion an idol of wood or stone. By misrepresenting God, Satan leads men to conceive of him in a false character. A philosophical idol is enthroned in the place of the living God as he is revealed in his word, in Christ, and in the works of creation. The God of many philosophers, poets, politicians, journalists, of many universities, even of some theological institutions, is little better than Baal, the sun god of Phoenicia in the days of Elijah. No error strikes more boldly against the authority of heaven, none is more pernicious in its results, than the doctrine that God's law is no longer binding. Suppose that prominent ministers were publicly to teach that the statutes which govern their land were not obligatory, that they restricted the liberties of the people and ought not to be obeyed, how long would such men be tolerated in the pulpit? It would be more consistent for nations to abolish their statutes than for the ruler of the universe to annul his law. The experiment of making void the law of God was tried in France when atheism became the controlling power. It was demonstrated that to throw off the restraints which God has imposed is to accept the rule of the prince of evil. Setting aside the law of God. Those who teach the people to regard lightly the commandments of God sow disobedience to reap disobedience. Let the restraint imposed by the divine law be wholly cast aside, and human laws would soon be disregarded. The results of banishing God's precepts would be such as they do not anticipate. Property would no longer be safe. Men would obtain their neighbors' possessions by violence, and the strongest would become richest. Life itself would not be respected. The marriage vow would no longer stand as a bulwark to protect the family. He who had the power would take his neighbor's wife by violence. The fifth commandment would be set aside with the fourth. Children would not shrink from taking the life of their parents if by so doing they could obtain the desire of their corrupt hearts. The civilized world would become a horde of robbers and assassins, and peace and happiness would be banished from the earth. Already this doctrine has opened the floodgates of iniquity on the world. Lawlessness and corruption sweep in like an overwhelming tide. Even in professedly Christian households there is hypocrisy, estrangement, betrayal of sacred trusts, indulgence of lust. Religious principle, the foundation of social life, seems a tottering mass ready to fall. Vile criminals are often made the recipients of attentions as if they had attained an enviable distinction. Great publicity is given to their crimes. The press publishes revolting details of vice, initiating others into fraud, robbery, and murder. The infatuation of vice, the terrible intemperance and iniquity of every degree should arouse all. What can be done to stay the tide of evil? Intemperance has beclouded many. Courts are corrupt, rulers are actuated by desire for gain and love of sensual pleasure. Intemperance has beclouded many so that Satan has almost complete control of them. Jurists are perverted, bribed, deluded. Drunkenness and revelry, dishonesty of every sort, are represented among those who administer the laws. Now that Satan can no longer keep the world under control by withholding the scriptures, he resorts to other means to accomplish the same object. To destroy faith in the Bible serves as well as to destroy the Bible itself. As in former ages, he has worked through the churches to further his designs. In combating unpopular truths in the scriptures, they adopt interpretations which so broadcast the seeds of skepticism. Clinging to the papal error of natural immortality and man's consciousness in death, they reject the only defense against the delusions of spiritualism. The doctrine of eternal torment has led many to disbelieve the Bible. As the claims of the fourth commandment are urged, it is found that the observance of the seventh-day Sabbath is enjoined, and as the only way to free themselves from a duty they are unwilling to perform, popular teachers cast away the law of God and the Sabbath together. As Sabbath reform extends, this rejection of the divine law to avoid the fourth commandment will become well nigh universal. Religious leaders open the door to infidelity, spiritualism, and contempt for God's holy law, a fearful responsibility for the iniquity that exists in the Christian world. Yet this very class claim that the enforcement of Sunday observance would improve the morals of society. It is one of Satan's devices to combine with falsehood just enough truth to give it plausibility. The leaders of the Sunday movement may advocate reforms which the people need, principles in harmony with the Bible, yet while there is with these a requirement contrary to God's law, his servants cannot unite with them. Nothing can justify setting aside the commandments of God for the precepts of men. Through the two great errors, the immortality of the soul and Sunday sacredness, Satan will bring the people under his deceptions. While the former lays the foundation of spiritualism, the latter creates a bond of sympathy with Rome. The Protestants of the United States will be foremost in stretching their hands across the gulf to grasp the hand of spiritualism. They will reach over the abyss to clasp hands with the Roman power, and under the influence of this threefold union, this country will follow in the steps of Rome in trampling on the rights of conscience. As spiritualism imitates the Christianity of the day, it has great power to deceive. Satan himself is converted. He will appear as an angel of light. Through spiritualism, miracles will be wrought, the sick will be healed, and many undeniable wonders will be performed. Papists who boast of miracles as a sign of the true church will be readily deceived by this wonder-working power, and Protestants, having cast away the shield of truth, will also be deluded. Papists, Protestants, and worldlings will alike see in this union a grand movement for the conversion of the world. Through spiritualism, Satan appears as a benefactor of the race, healing diseases and presenting a new system of religious faith, but at the same time he leads multitudes to ruin. Intemperance dethrones reason, sensual indulgence, strife, and bloodshed follow. War excites the worst passions of the soul and sweeps into eternity its victims steeped in vice and blood. It is Satan's object to incite the nations to war, for he can thus divert the people from preparation to stand in the day of God. Satan has studied the secrets of nature, and he uses all his power to control the elements as far as God allows. It is God that shields his creatures from the destroyer. But the Christian world has shown contempt for his law, and the Lord will do what he declared that he would, remove his protecting care from those who rebel against his law and force others to do the same. Satan has control of all whom God does not especially guard. He will favor and prosper some, in order to further his own designs, and he will bring trouble upon others, and lead men to believe that it is God who is afflicting them. While appearing as a great physician who can heal all their maladies, Satan will bring disease and disaster until populous cities are reduced to ruin. In accidents by sea and land, in great conflagrations, in fierce tornadoes and hailstorms, in tempests, floods, cyclones, tidal waves, and earthquakes, in a thousand forms, Satan is exercising his power. He sweeps away the ripening harvest, and famine and distress follow. He imparts to the air a deadly taint, and thousands perish. And then the great deceiver will persuade men to charge all their troubles on those whose obedience to God's commandments is a perpetual reproof to transgressors. It will be declared that men offend God by the violation of Sunday, that this sin has brought calamities which will not cease until Sunday observance shall be strictly enforced. Those who destroy reverence for Sunday are preventing restoration of divine favor and prosperity. Thus the accusation urged of old against the servant of God will be repeated. When Ahab saw Elijah, Ahab said unto him, "Art thou he that troubled Israel?" Miracle-working power will exert its influence against those who obey God rather than men. The spirits will declare that God has sent them to convince the rejecters of Sunday of their error. They will lament the great wickedness in the world and second the testimony of religious teachers that the degraded state of morals is caused by the desecration of Sunday. Under the rule of Rome, those who suffered for the gospel were denounced as evildoers in league with Satan. So it will be now. Satan will cause those who honor God's law to be accused as men who bring judgments on the world. Through fear he endeavors to rule the conscience, moving religious and secular authorities to enforce human laws in defiance of the law of God. Those who honor the Bible Sabbath will be denounced as enemies of law and order, breaking down the moral restraints of society, causing anarchy and corruption, and calling down the judgments of God on the earth. They will be accused of disaffection toward the government. Ministers who deny the obligation of the divine law will present from the pulpit the duty of obedience to civil authorities. In legislative halls and courts of justice, commandment keepers will be condemned. A false coloring will be given their words, the worst construction will be put on their motives. Dignitaries of church and state will unite to persuade or compel all to honor Sunday. Even in free America, rulers and legislators will yield to the popular demand for a law enforcing Sunday observance. Liberty of conscience, which has cost so great a sacrifice, will no longer be respected. In the soon coming conflict, we shall see exemplified the prophet's words: "The dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ."